Thank you, Emily. That was beautiful. Pam, that was lovely as well. Isn't it good to be with God's people? Amen. Open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 1. Just a personal testimony. Studying the Bible, let me start over. Reading the Bible is profitable. Amen. Studying it is more profitable. And this morning's message is an illustration of that just in my own life. So I wanted to bring a Thanksgiving sermon, a sermon on Thanksgiving. And I didn't want to just make something up. I want it to be from the Scriptures. So you start studying what the Bible says about thankfulness. And you know what happens? You become thankful. It just reveals things. So I want you to see this. Let's start reading in Philippians chapter 1. Let's start reading in verse 2. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Lord, will you help us to have a good understanding of what it means to be thankful this morning from this amazing passage that you gave Paul to give to us. And Lord, I pray that this will be a profitable time, that you'll be glorified by the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul here, and you can see it, he writes to the Philippians with a smile on his face. So I was thinking this morning of our grandson Silas over in Germany, and I had in my mind a picture that had come across my feed and him just laughing. And just thinking of him made me smile. It's a wonderful thing. I think of you all, and it makes me smile. That's how Paul is writing this. So I've got a question for you. What do you think of when you think of the people of God? What do you think of when you think of the people of God? More specifically, what do you think of when you think of the people of Grace Baptist Church? Now, I have the benefit of being in, I don't know, 20 or 25 churches a year, and I can't think of a time when I preached at a church where I wanted to stay there. I always enjoy coming back to you. You're my family. This is us. This is Grace Baptist Church. I look forward to seeing you. I was thinking of Josh and Kinsey this week because their stewardship letter got sent back. And so I thought they're not going to give now because it just made me think of you guys. And it just makes me smile. You guys, if any of you know Josh Spicer, he's one of the funniest people around, especially when he impersonates his mom. Where is she at? It's hilarious. How many of you have heard Josh do that? It's just funny. I think of you all with a smile. Jeremy Folsom, he just makes me smile. I can't help but think about him without laughing because he and my wife are always going back and forth at each other because he's a Texas fan, she's an Oklahoma State fan, and let me just say, Jeremy's winning right now. I just smile when I think of you. It's wonderful to see these children that were babies in the nursery, now leaders at Grace Baptist Church. That makes me smile. Watching young people grow up and get married and stay plugged in and not only come to church, but they become leaders serving God, ministering to other people. That's the dream. I've told you forever that my goal, when we came to this church, there were no children, very few. The only young couple were Wade and Stacy. That was it. They ain't young anymore, are they? And we prayed for young people, and now look at Grace Baptist Church. And what's fun is sometimes a church can get to the place where, yes, we were young, we were old, and then we were young again, and now we're old again. What's wonderful at Grace Baptist Church, we're old, we're not so young, and we're young. These young families that God has brought, young couples that have gotten married, and they're bringing friends, and with a desire to see God do something in their families for the future. How can you not smile when you think about that? It is such a wonderful thing. When the Apostle Paul remembered the people of the church in Philippi, he smiled. Our passage today gives us another key to Paul's abounding joy. How is it that this man, who had been such an awful Pharisaical Pharisee, how did he become a joyful Christian? And what does that look like? Well, in verse 3, the Bible says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Here's how we can be thankful people. Number one, to ponder positively. To ponder positively. I was just thinking that during our testimony time last Sunday night, Liam made me smile talking about his friendships in the church. And some of those friendships are because he invited people to the church. How do you not smile over that? Amen? And to see children being thankful for their parents rather than resenting their parents, it's just wonderful. And this is the way we should think. And it's so easy to think, you start thinking through the church role, and we all ought to be praying regularly through our church membership, praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we think about them, we ought to think positively. Brian George texted us yesterday in our text group during the ball game, and he asked if we were going to cancel the service today because of the ball game. And I just told him, I said, no, he especially needs to be here because I think God has been judging all of us for his sin. So if you want to know why they lost, it's Brian's fault. And so just that, those types of interactions that we have, it just makes me smile. Think about these guys. And, you know, Nathaniel Tennant going crazy, criticizing the team. And Wade trying to pump them up. We're going to do great. Second half is going to be better. And Nathaniel was right. But you think about these things and you just smile. It's just a blessing. I love seeing Matt back here. He can sit down after his surgery. I thought of you, I don't know, 10 times in the last 2 weeks. When I think of you all, this is our mandate as Christians. Paul remembered them with thanks. And if we look at this word thanks in the Bible, the first time it was used in the New Testament was when Jesus took the 7 loaves and the fishes and he gave thanks. Because he was about to do a miracle. That's a pretty neat thing. It's also used when the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 27, that he's on the ship, he's being taken to Rome, he's a prisoner. The ship, they've put out 4 anchors because they're in this storm. The sun hasn't shined, they don't know where they are. They're afraid that the ship is going to be destroyed on the rocks, and they don't know what to do. And so what does Paul do? He stands up and he says, men and brethren, listen to me. And then he thanked God. In the middle of this storm, he gave thanks. He's saying the same thing in the storm as he is when he thinks about the church at Philippi. Paul was thankful for the Philippians as he was as thankful for the Philippians as he was for his daily food. Every time he thought of them, his heart rose to God in gratitude. You know that's the way that we are supposed to be towards God's people and God's work. We're just thankful that God has given us A home like this, I stopped and took a video. Some of you saw me taking a video of the service. I want to remember, I want to share that video with our friends. This is Grace Baptist Church. This is our music. And then I turned around and there was Chad's face. Not so thankful. But when you look at this, it's not just a generic thankfulness. I'm thankful for mankind. I'm thankful for humanity. No, it's not that. It's remembering people who have blessed us in an effect as an effective antidote to criticizing and complaining. Let me say this again. This type of remembering people, it's remembering people who have blessed us, and it's an effective antidote to criticizing and complaining. It is a profitable exercise to, from time to time, recall the names and faces of those who have helped us in our journey through life. And so I've got to be careful to do this because I'll just start blubbering and that doesn't make for a good sermon. But some of you will remember Bob and Patsy Maxwell. We wouldn't have Grace Baptist Church the way that we have it if it wasn't for Bob's faithfulness during the transition time. And just, I just remember them. I think of Thelma and Sonny Roadhamel. We had Dave McCracken preach like my first year here, and he got done preaching, and I said to Sonny, I said, hey, Sonny, what'd you think of that? He said, I don't know if I could take that every week. And if any of you remember Sonny, that's Sonny. He was just a quiet man. And then Thelma, actively involved in the church from early on. I think that our lives, those of us who are here at Grace Baptist Church, if it wasn't for people like these that I've just mentioned, that some of you don't know, you don't know what God did to bring us to this point. I'll never forget Bob. Bob was one of the deacons, that Bob Maxwell, that called me as pastor here. And sometime later, I was preaching on what it means to be a Baptist and what biblical baptism is. And Bob came up to me. He said, Jimmy, I need to get baptized. And he had been baptized at a Methodist church years ago when he was a child. He had never been baptized to identify with Baptist doctrine. And at 84 years old, Bob Maxwell got baptized. And that was a tremendous testimony. And others followed the Lord in believers' baptism because of Bob's humility and his willingness to follow the Lord scripturally. Isn't that a blessing? When I think back at that, that's a blessing. That's an encouragement. Bob Maxwell and Jim Jimerson, they were both electricians. We bought a little house here on Edgewood Street, and it had the old fuses. And they came and installed 100-amp service and rewired the whole house. And just, that was a gift that they did for us. Our first year here, we lived in a little apartment on Water Street next to Chili Jilly's. And it got so hot that summer, and Dr. Ree was worried about Lydia. So he came to that old house. He bought us an air conditioner to put in the window, but the windows were so fragile in that old house, the air conditioner wouldn't work. So Dr. Ree himself came and built a platform and put the air conditioner on the platform so that we could have air conditioning in our house. I think back on those things, and it's just amazing the people that God has brought into our lives and what God has done for each and every one of us. If you come to our house downstairs in the basement, we have some rooms, and Dan New actually framed up those rooms for us. The things that people have done for us, it's just unbelievable. But it's so much more than those physical things. I think of you who are teaching Sunday school classes, and you invest in those children every week with really no thanks. And you're building Christ into those children's lives. Those of you who are teaching our adult classes, and you spend your time investing in those people, in God's Word. How can we think of that labor and not smile? The amount of labor that Awana takes. And I hear all the time, someone will come through the church and they'll say, oh, I was in Awana when I was a child. And they never forget those biblical truths that they learned all that time ago. I am thankful when you look back on your experience in the Christian life, picture those people that have influenced you. I'll never forget, there's a man named Jim Ballantyne. He was an assistant pastor at Farmington Avenue Baptist Church. When I was 15 years old, we took a winter ski trip to Massachusetts, and then we'd have preaching in the evenings. And the guest speaker got snowed in. He couldn't make it. So Pastor Jim, he preached that night. And that's the night that I got saved. I can picture Jim Ballantyne. I tracked him down. He's an attorney now. And believe it or not, he's an elder in John Piper's church. How about that? And so we just had a wonderful conversation, but it was through his preaching that I got saved, even though I grew up in a preacher's home. I picture these people, and I'm just so thankful for what God did in them and through them. Paul, let's just keep going. So number one, we need to ponder positively. And then number two, look at verse four. We need to pray purposefully. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. When you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ, pray with joy. You guys here, you need to be praying for each other. If you're praying for each other, you won't be hurting each other. Amen? You need to lift each other up. If you see a brother that's struggling, you don't criticize him. You pray for him. You encourage him. You build him up. We need to pray purposefully. A foundational principle in our lives should be this. Spiritual realities always come before physical ones. Spiritual realities always come before physical ones. Paul, in his prayers, always thanked God for evidence of spiritual blessing in the lives of God's people, the fellowship in the gospel. So that's one of the benefits of discipleship. As you are discipling someone, and if you've not been discipled, we're going to have a discipler meeting immediately following the morning service. And these are people who have been trained to teach you the Word of God. And if you would like to be more grounded and better able to communicate the truth of God, to know God better, to pray better, to know God's Word better, there's a card in the chair in front of you. If you'll fill out that card and give it to us, we'll match up a trained discipler to teach you the Word of God. But here's what happens. If you are discipling someone, so Matt, did I disciple you, Matt Holzclaw? Okay, so I'm not completely responsible for Matt. But one of the blessings of discipling someone like Matt is to watch him grow. So to come from a saved person, but just marginally living a Christian life, to now teaching our young couples, that's an encouragement. And that's what we pray for. So as I pray for Matt, I'm thanking God for his growth and praying for his continued growth. See, we do just the opposite sometimes. We look at somebody and we say, Simon should be farther down the road by now. With all the blessings God has given him, he should not be trying that beard. It's looking good. All right. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Joe Spradlin, he ought to be way farther along than he is. God, would you help his failings? No, God, thank you for bringing Joe to the church, the way that he's grown, teaching children now, in charge of our maintenance, just everything. By the way, did you see the leak in the hall is back? Okay. Taking care of our maintenance. We just had roofers come in and fix it, and it's still there. When I think of Joe, when Laura and I mention people, we just smile. How can you think of Kevin West and not smile? Amen? He's just goofy texts when he sends them to you. But just a faithful... When you think of Kevin, you just think of a good man. This is the way that we should pray for people. It changes our spirit. It changes our attitude. It helps us. I wish I could name every man in this church. Every time I think of Matthew Heberlin, I smile. Every time. I wish I could name every man, but this is what God is doing in people's lives. Paul, in his prayers, always thanked God for evidence of spiritual blessing in the lives of God's people. But not only that, Paul was sensitive to the needs of this church, but he was more sensitive to the mercies of God. He knew men's hearts. There's nothing in them that can satisfy a holy God. So any growth was by the Holy Spirit of God, and it's worthy of mention. We need to be thankful for the spiritual growth. For some people, just coming to church is growth. Just being here. And then the next step. Somebody said that church members are like cars, car engines. They start missing before they fail. They start missing before they stop. So the opposite of that is a blessing. Some people become more and more faithful to at least being with God's people. And that gives them now the opportunity to establish relationships and fellowship and to begin serving and growing. That's how we should pray for people. A foundational question: do my prayers match this pattern? Someone prayed, give me this, give me that, do it quickly, and that's that. Our prayers should be spiritual prayers filled with thanksgiving. I made a list. I'm thankful for Christ. I'm thankful for the working of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for freedom in Christ. How many of you are glad you don't have to keep your salvation? Praise God. I'm thankful for eternal life. I'm thankful for believing children, that my children have followed Christ in salvation. I know that my children will be in heaven with me. I'm thankful for spiritual blessings. One of the standards by which you can measure your maturity in prayer is the amount of time you spend rejoicing in Him and thanking Him for the spiritual blessings He has given you in Christ. Can I read that again? One of the standards by which you can measure your maturity in prayer is the amount of time you spend rejoicing in Him and thanking Him for the spiritual blessings He has given you in Christ. And I know you've heard me say this 1,000 times. Laura and I, we really believe that thankfulness is the cure for everything. How much of your prayer time is spent rejoicing? See, we live in a dour community. I've told you that we were in Indiana to see my parents years ago. The kids were little. And we went through a McDonald's drive-thru. And Lydia said, Dad, that lady in the window smiled at us. It was a shocking thing to her. We live in a dour community. That should not be the spirit of Grace Baptist Church. We should be thankful. We should be rejoicing. We should be smiling people, thankful people, contented people, forgiving people. That's who we are to be as Christians. And I promise you, you'll feel better. So we said pray purposefully, but I want you to see this. Ponder positively, pray purposefully, but participate passionately. Look at what it says in verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for what? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The primary attribute that brought Paul joy in remembering the Philippians was their fellowship in the gospel. So what is fellowship? Fellowship is commonality. Fellowship is commonality. So I'm sure that many people were commiserating with each other over the Ohio State loss. How many of you had conversations or exchanges with another Ohio State fan after the game? Right? That's better than being alone. You can talk to somebody about it. Let's just run it up the middle one more time. Right? I think our quarterback's arm fell off. We couldn't throw it anymore. You commiserate. That's commonality. We have something in common. The Bible says that we have a common salvation, that we have a common faith, that we have a common purpose. That should be our fellowship. The Bible says he thanked God for their fellowship in the gospel with Him. How many of you think that's more important than a football game? Amen. Amen. So stop smiling, Jeremy. This fellowship should be around the gospel. We have a reason to be here. There's a lost and dying world out there, and we know the gospel. We have a common purpose. But when we start working together toward that common purpose, that's when the friction happens. Because people are people. And we need to be thankful for our co-laborers, not critical of our co-laborers. It causes us, it gives us the opportunity to worship and to serve in joy. So fellowship is commonality, but fellowship is partnership and participation. It is partnership and participation. Look at what it says, again, verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Brian Wendell, do you know what I know? God's not done with you. Isn't that a blessing? But what's fun is to look back and see Brian, his first day at Grace Baptist Church, and now Brian today, leading our ushers, serving God, always having a wonderful spirit in this place. I'm thankful for what God's doing in you. And I'm glad he's going to do it until we are taken out of here. Praise God for that. I'm thankful that God brings us people like Jim McDermott. He's got two ornery sons and keeps that are with us today. And he keeps serving God. No, I really am. I'm so thankful for Jim, his faithful service, his leading our greeter ministry. And I'm praying that he continues to grow and continues to lead. It was a blessing to meet Jim. He comes to Grace Baptist Church. He comes from a background just like us. He was discipled just like we disciple. And so he was a brother in Christ, a fellow laborer in the Lord from the time he got here. And his faithful wife, Deb, in supporting him in what he's doing here. My prayer and my confidence is he'll continue to grow until Christ comes. He'll continue to grow until we can no longer serve him. Is that what the passage says? Jesus Christ is going to be faithful, and my prayer is for that in you. And that's how we pray for each other. It changes everything. Thank God for growth. Thank God for advancement in the Lord. Thank God for that. Don't be a stagnant Christian. If you're not advancing in your Christian faith, it's not God's fault. Amen? And part of this is being thankful for others. So fellowship is commonality. Fellowship is partnership and participation. Fellowship is endurance and consistency. Look what it says at the end of verse 5. From the first day until now. I'm thankful that Dan New called me in our house in Oklahoma to tell me that the church had called me as pastor, and he's still here serving the Lord. I'm thankful for that faithfulness. I'm thankful that Jeff and Sue were here serving God then, and they're still serving God today. I'm thankful for that. Still making disciples today. I'm thankful for consistency. And many of you, you're just here week in and week out, faithfully serving God. I'm just so thankful for that. Imagine Grace Baptist Church right now without Maureen and what she adds to our music. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that for 26 years that Andy has been my friend at Grace Baptist Church. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that God's not done with any of us. You understand this is how we are to pray? Fellowship is commonality. Fellowship is partnership and participation. Fellowship is endurance and consistency. But fellowship is joy. See, that's how he's able to pray with joy. He's joyful in his thinking because he's looking at what God is doing in these believers' lives. It meant sharing in something, participating in something that is greater than the people involved and more lasting than the activity of any given moment. Listen, Bob Maxwell never would have dreamed of this. But Bill Hovestrite probably never would have dreamed of this. But without Bill Hovestrite starting Grace Baptist Church, and I'm sure there were many sacrifices involved in that, we would not have this. We wouldn't be here. And who knows, if the Lord doesn't return 50 years from now, the people that God will still be using here. Imagine if Ryan and Becca 50 years from now. They're the old people in the church. And there are twice this many people at Grace Baptist Church serving God, their children learning the Word of God, because they stayed faithful. What if Melody and Gabe, they have their children 50 years from now, they are the Pete and Ruby Lime, whose great-grandchildren are here serving God. Is that the plan? Or they're on the mission field somewhere, or they're in another Bible-preaching church serving God somewhere. That's God's plan. That's how we need to pray for what God is doing and will do in us and through us. And it completely changes our attitude. When the Bible uses the word fellowship, it means being caught up into a communion created by God. We are a part of this body. It has the idea of an atmosphere or a habitat. A fish lives in the water, and the water is in the fish. We humans, we live in our atmosphere, and our atmosphere lives in us. You cannot separate us from the atmosphere and still live. A Christian cannot be separate from the fellowship of the gospel with other believers and still be growing in the Lord. Our fellowship, our church, it's vital. It's vital. So we have fellowship. And look at what the Bible says about this. We have fellowship in the gospel. Chapter 1 and verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. We have fellowship of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in every believer. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. What does that? The fellowship of the Spirit. How many of you are born again today? You know Jesus Christ is your Savior. We have fellowship in that Spirit. We are one in Christ, gathered together in this local body, and we're all necessary. We're all important, and we are all a component to the joy of the whole. That's who we are. That's what God has done. The fellowship in the gospel, the fellowship of the Spirit. But here's the part that we don't like. Look at chapter 3 and verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. See, we need not only to have fellowship with each other, but we need to be united in fellowship around the sufferings of Christ. You see, if Christ suffered, he said his disciples, his followers, would also suffer. But you know what suffering? Misery loves company. It's better to suffer with someone than to suffer alone. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, if we're going to move ahead for Christ, the culture is going to keep moving away from God. If we're going to move ahead, we need each other. We need this fellowship with each other. And there are people in this room right now that are suffering, and they need a hug. They need a brother in Christ to come alongside them. They need a sister in Christ to come alongside them. And not with platitudes. When our son died, a friend needed to say something. And he said, well, you know, these things happen. And this guy was a good guy. He just didn't know what to say. How many of you think that was helpful for us at that time? No. And so this is where we need to make sure that when we try to help people in their suffering, that we do it with compassion, that we do it with pity, that we do it with courteousness. We just talked about all those things in our Sunday school class. So fellowship in the gospel, fellowship of the Spirit, fellowship of his sufferings. And it doesn't use the word, but Paul is commending the people for coming together to do this. Look at what it says in chapter 4 and verse 14. Chapter 4 and verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. What did they do? They supported him. So we need fellowship in support. So we need fellowship in support of Grace Baptist Church. We all need to give. Amen? We all have a responsibility here. And as members, we've committed 10%. But 10% is my part of Grace Baptist Church. If we do that, we'll pay off the building, we'll be able to send more missionaries, we'll accomplish some things, hire more staff, and Lord willing, the church will grow. It's mutual support. And that reminds me of the Declaration of Independence, right? That they pledged mutual support of this endeavor. And many of them lost everything for that. But it's mutual support. But it's mutual support. There are people here at Grace Baptist Church who are going to struggle through the Christmas season financially. We need to pay attention. We need to be aware of that. We just need to help people. Amen? I know there are several families in the church right now that need financial help. Well, who's supposed to do that? The government or the church? But here's the thing. You don't know who they are. So just give an offering. Just give an offering to the church and trust that the deacons and I will make sure that it gets to these people. I would like to raise $10,000 to help some of these families through this season. They need us, folks. They need us. They need that more than your child needs a third video game. Two's enough. The young people, this is the first time they've ever disagreed with me in a sermon right here. Y'all follow what I'm saying right here? We need mutual support. But not only that, not only financial support, but moral support, emotional support, spiritual support. There are people that they want to grow, but they've established habits or patterns in their life that's keeping, those habits and patterns are keeping them from growing spiritually. They need somebody to come alongside them and hold them accountable and allow them to hold you accountable so that we grow together, that mutual support. That's what discipleship is all about. We should help each other. And let me say this, you need to be doing it for people outside of your own family. Now, should you be helping your own family? Of course. Of course, that's a given, but we need to be helping people that might not be as close to us as they should be. Amen? Fellowship, mutual support. This, go back to Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. See, this attitude, this is the secret and power of joy. This is the secret and power of purpose. This is the secret and power of the church. When we remember our brothers and sisters in Christ, let's smile. Amen. Let's smile. If you are here and you don't know anyone well enough in the church to smile when you think of them, here's what the Bible says. If a man would have friends, he must first show himself friendly. Make yourself available for friendship. Make yourself available for fellowship. And then beyond that, I am so thankful to see groups of people in the church fellowshipping. I love that. I mentioned Liam with his friends. I love that. But we also need to invite someone else into our group. Not divisions, but unity. And people are going to unite around commonality. It can be age. It can be stage of life. It can be our children. It can be sports. It can be hunting. It can be golf if God blesses the church more. Bill and I have wonderful fellowship visiting the greens. It's wonderful, isn't it? We make fun of each other It took him a little while to make fun of me back. He didn't want to make fun of the preacher, but he's got that licked now. He's got no problem. We need to invite other people into our group. Amen? Let's just have joy. Because we all have problems. The older you get, you're going to have pain. So let's pray with joy, with rejoicing. Let's think of our brothers and sisters in Christ with joy, with rejoicing. Let's pray for their growth. Let's thank God for their past growth and trust God for their future growth. And then let's be a facilitator of that growth. I hope today. So here we're going to have 10 minutes or so of fellowship after the service, and then we disciplers need to be up for the meeting. Pam's going to have the kids down here for the Christmas choir. Go talk to somebody that you've not talked to before. And then as you pray, as we look forward to this holiday season, which I absolutely adore, let's think of God's people positively. Let's remember their needs. And let's pray joyfully so that when we remember our brothers and sisters in Christ, we smile. Let's all stand together. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you died today, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven? If you're not, let us take the Bible and show you how you can know. That's where joy begins. That's where love begins. You can't really even understand love until Jesus Christ has saved you. And that'll give you the capacity to love others. How many of you would be honest and say, Pastor, I needed this message today? Would you raise your hands? Amen. I mentioned all the way at the beginning of the service, I needed this probably more than anybody else in this room. I'm so thankful for you, and I'm thankful to God for you. Let's just have a wonderful, Christ-honoring, joyful prayer life. It'll change us. It'll change everything about us. Let's sing this together.